You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There's never a policeman around when you need one. The same complaint is leveled at God. Where is God when you need him?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, to you alone, and not to us, be all the glory because of your constant love and faithfulness. Make us alive with faith toward your Son, Jesus Christ, and with love toward one another, that we may give thanks to you, both now and forever, in the glorious light of your salvation. Amen. To you alone, O Lord, to you alone, and not to us, must glory be given because of your constant love and faithfulness, said the psalmist. Then he faced the question which many people ask of those who trust in God. Where is your God? With a certain amount of surprise, born of love and faithfulness, the psalmist said, why should the nations ask us, where is your God? The nations do ask that question. Even religious people ask it when they're overtaken by trouble or disaster. The disciples of Jesus asked it one night when they were traveling across the Sea of Galilee in a vicious storm. Where is God, anyway? There's never a policeman around when you need one, is the common complaint of people across the world. The same complaint is leveled at God. Where is God when you need him? It is the question of the whole book of Job, brought up constantly by his three friends from every angle. Where is God when you need him? Sometimes the question takes an ironic twist. There was a man who made no secret of the fact that he was an atheist, especially in the company of his brother's family, who openly avowed faith in God and in Jesus Christ. This man took every opportunity to ridicule and undermine their faith. One Sunday afternoon, his little nephew was talking around the dinner table about what he had learned in Sunday school that morning. He had learned about God. The uncle, with a gleam in his eye, reached into his pocket and pulled out a shiny quarter. I'll tell you what, he said to his nephew. I'll give you this quarter if you can tell me where God is. The little boy reached into his own pocket and pulled out another quarter, saying, I'll give you this quarter if you can tell me where God is not. The whole family had a good laugh about this neat thrust of the little fellow in their family. There seemed to be no answer to his question. But the little boy had an answer. He said, where God is in my heart, and where he is not, is in yours. Somehow the uncle had to give up 50 cents that day instead of the 25 he originally offered for an answer to his own question. That boy answered both questions, neatly, deftly, truly. The psalmist had God in his heart. He knew God and believed in God. He trusted God and gave God his due. To you alone, O Lord. To you alone, and not to us, must glory be given because of your constant love and faithfulness. But the psalmist was troubled about the serious question, where is God? He himself probably had those days when that question occurred to him, as it does to people of all kinds, even though they trust in God. When things go wrong, as they do, the question arises, why did God allow this to happen? Where is God now? Why do we ask the question only when things go wrong? Why is it that we don't ask ourselves the question every day? These questions, for example. Why did God allow me to have my body and soul with all their powers? Why does God allow me to be provided with food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all that I need from day to day? Why did God allow me to go to work today or to school without being killed in a traffic accident? Why did God allow the fireman down the street to sleep last night without having to come out and put out a fire in my house? Why did God allow us all to wake up this morning? Why does the sun shine and the rain fall? Why do plants grow? Why does my heart beat? Here's a good question. Why does your heart beat? Doctors can tell you how it beats, but nobody seems to be able to tell us why. Isn't it strange that we never ask a question about our own heartbeat? When that heartbeat keeps us from death only a breath away? It's a question that Martin Luther answered in his own explanation to the statement of the Creed about the constant love and faithfulness of God, which people experience every day. He said, all of this comes out of purely fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. We do not deserve his love and faithfulness, but they remain constant anyway, just because he is God. People had better get used to that idea, said the psalmist. Where is your God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he wishes. The gods of the nations are made of silver and gold, formed by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, and eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, and noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, and feet but cannot walk. They cannot make a sound. All who made them and who trust in them become like the idols they have made. Where is your God, my friend? Who is it that you worship? Is it the unfeeling, unseeing, unhearing, and unmoving stuff that people treasure and in which they put their trust? Or is it the feeling, seeing, hearing, moving, thinking, and loving God that this man knew and in whom he put his trust? Our God is in the heavens, said the psalmist. He's the same God of whom people say all over the world in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's a big statement about a big universe, bigger than most of us had imagined only a short time ago, and a lot bigger than we are able to comprehend even today. We're talking about millions of miles and millions of light years. God is bigger than all of that. It all came out of his mind. It came into being by his power. I believe that. It does not take nearly as much faith to believe that God made the world as it does to believe that all of this happened by pure accident. It takes a lot more to believe that the world rose out of nothing all on its own than it does to believe that God made it out of nothing. Still, it is hard to believe that a great God like that could care about little people like us. That takes real faith. It takes faith of a high order to be convinced and absolutely sure that we are not lost in the crowd, and that if we did get lost, God would miss us. It takes faith to believe the constant love and faithfulness of God, homing in on all of us together and upon each one of us individually. God has given us good reason to believe. The record is there. It is part of our history. His Son, Jesus Christ, became a man, a real man, like us and for us. I did not make this up. God made it up. The record is there of the life and death of Jesus Christ. This is the record, said one of Christ's men, that God sent his Son to offer his holy and blameless life as a sacrifice for our sins, our waywardness, our unbelief. While we are asking, where is God? God is doing his thing in Jesus Christ. He died for us, and he was raised from the dead to be the Lord of that vast universe created by God. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He suffered for us under Pontius Pilate. was crucified and was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, as the scriptures said he would. This is God's thing, showing the whole world his great heart, which is bigger even than the universe he made. He forgives out of that great heart of his, purely out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. It's enough to make a man say, to you alone, O God, to you alone, and not to us, must glory be given because of your constant love and faithfulness. Heaven belongs to the Lord alone. That's what the psalmist said. Earth belongs to him alone, too. Working his way through the maze of history, God himself has shown his hand to everyone in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's a great story full of his constant love and faithfulness. In Jesus Christ, said St. John, we see the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our God is in the heavens, doing whatever he wishes. That calls for the trust of his people. He summons us, you and me, to trust him. Trust in the Lord, you people of Israel. He helps you and protects you. Trust in the Lord, you priests of God. He helps you and protects you. Trust in the Lord, all you that worship him. He helps you and protects you. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the people of Israel and all the priests of God. He will bless everyone who honors him, the great and small alike. God does whatever he wishes. You can do whatever you wish, too, if that's what you want to do. You can go your own way, because that's your thing. But God has done his thing, and he summons you to do his thing. Heaven belongs to the Lord alone, but he gave the earth to man. The Lord is not praised by the dead, or by any that go down to the land of silence. But we, the living, give thanks to him, now and forever. That's what the psalmist said of himself, and of all who do the Lord's thing in the world that he has made and redeemed by his own grace and power in Jesus Christ. God gives. God blesses. God remembers. God helps and protects. Three times in a row the psalmist said that. He is a God of constant love and faithfulness. He's a God who gets things done. He's a God who's constantly doing things. He is alive and well. He is in charge. Don't you forget it, said the psalmist. His tormentors were always saying, where is your God, or where is your God now? Where do you think he is, said the psalmist? In a corner somewhere where you put him, doing nothing? He is not like the gods you make for yourself, without eyes, ears, hands, and feet. The fact is, he doesn't need eyes, ears, hands, and feet to get going and to be doing. He has done his thing in Jesus Christ. For all the world to see, he's constantly doing his own thing by the power of his Spirit, telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. It may fall on deaf ears, that good news, and it may pass by unseeing eyes, but that does not mean that God is doing nothing. He is in the heavens and he is doing his work on earth, right where you are. The psalmist offered a prayer for people like us. May the Lord give you children. You and your descendants, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's the heartfelt wish of a man who knew God and trusted God. It's a great wish for people like us who are alive today. The constant love and faithfulness of God, our constant invitation to be alive ourselves, alive and well, overcome by the grace of God, as St. Paul liked to say, with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. It's one thing to confess that you believe in God. However, when it comes to actual life, people often confess the very opposite. They say they believe in him, but they don't live for him. They live for someone else, maybe for themselves. Even though God remembers, people forget. Even though God loves, people do not. Even though God is faithful, people are not faithful. Even though God blesses, people curse. Even though he blesses everyone, people do not honor him. This goes for the great and small alike. It's time for both great and small to take another look at God, To you alone, O Lord, to you alone, not to us, must glory be given. That's where the life begins. It's not mere profession. It is life. It is saying, as the early Christians always said, Jesus Christ is Lord. And to the Father, his Father and ours, be all glory forever and ever. The temptation for irreligious people is to put God in a corner somewhere, and for religious people to put him in a box somewhere, to have him handy when they want him, when they push the button or open the lid. Try to put God in a box, my friend, and you are attempting the impossible. He is in the heavens. He does what he pleases. He is also Lord on earth. Our God is in heaven doing whatever he pleases. What is God doing? He is giving and blessing and remembering and helping and protecting, because he's a God of constant love and faithfulness. We keep saying that, as the psalmist kept saying it. Someone has to keep saying it so that the Holy Spirit of God can get hold of the hearts of people, maybe yours, and take over those hearts with his giving and blessing and remembering, with his helping and protecting, with his constant love and faithfulness. Where is your God, my friend? I'm asking that question now, not in derision, as it is often asked, but as an invitation, the same one the psalmist issued to his own people. Trust in the Lord, you people of his heart. He helps you and protects you. Trust in the Lord, you preachers and priests of God. He helps you and protects you. Trust in the Lord, all you that worship him. He helps you and protects you. Have this same confidence in God that the psalmist had. The Lord remembers you and will bless you. He will bless the people who put their trust in him. He will bless the people who proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and of God's love and faithfulness. He will bless everyone who honors him, great and small alike. He will bless because he is God. The alternative is to wind up where all those idols wind up and where all the idol worshipers wind up. They will become like the idols they have made. There's no praise there, no honor, no blessing, no protection, only silence. Be alive, my friend, with faith in God, and let his love and faithfulness embrace you with the loving arms of a father who cares about you. That's what Jesus Christ was always saying. This is what Jesus Christ made crystal clear by his death and resurrection. His Father cares about you. Be alive with faith that loves and honors God, not just in word, but indeed, in fact, bursting open the boxes of death like the little plant that pushes up the crust of earth in the springtime. It's like being raised from the dead, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. It's walking in newness of life by the power and grace of God. Even so, people who trust in him walk by his power in newness of life. Join in with the psalmist and in his praise of God. We, the living, alive with faith and love, give thanks to you, O God, now and forever. Amen.